new bottles. Not sure what kind of oil's in it, but it'll work, right? You know, if you don't have anything else, just get that spray can. Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. I remember during COVID, we weren't allowed to touch people, you know, so we put a glove on a stick and anointed it with oil, and it worked. Amen. So we look at these fragrances, and I'm not going to go through them all again, but, well, I guess I will when I read this. So Exodus chapter 30, verse 23, and he tells Moses, take the best spices. And again, let me remind you, spices back then are like gold today. Very rare, very precious. That's really all they had to make food edible to any degree. And to have, or just to smell better. They would take these spices, put them in a bag and hang it around their neck. I guess showers just didn't occur to them. But they would wear spices to smell better and all kinds of, so they were worth their weight in gold. Plus they had to come from many distances. The ones we're talking about today had to come from India. So back in those days, you can imagine the cost and expense of that. But anyway, he tells Moses to take the best spices, 12 and a half pounds of liquid myrrh, half that much, 6 1/4 pounds of fragrant cinnamon, 6 1/4 pounds of fragrant cane, and we're going to talk about that today, 12 and a half pounds of cassia, using the standard sanctuary weight for all of them, and 1 gallon of olive oil. We'll talk about that. Make these into a holy anointing oil, a perfumer's skillful blend. Mm-hmm. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, will you bless and anoint your word? Give us strength to preach, strength to hear, strength to receive, strength to act on your word. And we'll be careful to praise you in all these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and praise the Lord. So, fragrant cane. Doesn't mention what kind of cane, but most biblical scholars think it was calamus. Calamus, C-A-L-A-M-U-S, is the likely cane. Comes from India. In fact, today it still grows there. You may know it better as lemon grass or ginger grass. You may have heard of that. That's actually calamus that comes from there. Kind of looks like a cattail. You know those things that grow in swampy waters. Okay, I was seeing them similar. I saw the cattails and other things that look like calamus. I was wondering if it was calamus there at Cedar Point. We were there the last two days. Seems like 2 years. Feels like 2 years. Jesus help me. Give me a pass today, okay? Give me a pass. So the roots kind of grow this way instead of straight down, and they just spread out right under the water, and they just shoot these canes up and these leaves up, and they grow on the edge of rivers and lakes, okay? So it also kind of looks like an iris plant. If you've ever seen those with the flower, looks a lot like that. But the word for the calamus here is kana, Q-A-N-E-H. And it literally means to be erect, to stand tall. By extension, it means to purchase or to own or to redeem. And what it's saying, this spice is saying, is that we are the redeemed of the Lord. We are the righteousness of God. We stand, come on, in the presence of God. We're not bent over with sin. We're not troubled over with all kinds of trouble and worry. We're standing tall, victorious, righteous in the presence of the Lord. And this cane, amen, symbolizes what the anointing does in our lives. Can I get an amen? Represents right standing and the rule and life in Christ. So number one, we understand it is extremely fragrant. It is the most fragrant of all the spices. And again, it reminds me of 2 Corinthians. We read this in a previous message, but this is from the Passion Translation. It sounds a little different. God always makes his grace visible in Christ, who includes us as partners of his endless triumph. Through our yielded lives, he spreads the fragrance. Felt the Lord right there. Spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of God everywhere we go. We have become the unmistakable aroma of the victory of the we smell like resurrection. Glory to God. Now, it seems that way to each other, but to people in the world, it's the odor of death. It's no wonder people don't like us as Christians. We don't smell right to them. But to God, we are pleasing. To God, we are pleasant. And we should be that way to each other. That's why, if you ever wondered, sometimes you just see somebody at a restaurant or somewhere, and you just know they're Christian. You just pick up on it. They don't have to speak or pray or do anything. You just know it. It's that fragrance. It's that connectivity. They're family. And we know we're connected. Can I get an amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's interesting that the scent doesn't just come off the cane, but the way that it's spread is when the wind blows. See, y'all been here so long, you can anticipate my messages already. When the cane beats, kind of rubs up against each other, that releases the scent into the air. And the stronger the wind, the greater the... That wind is the power of the Holy Ghost. I just kind of believe we don't smell that good without the Holy Spirit. But when the Holy Spirit begins to blow in the sanctuary, it lets off a pleasant aroma to God, a pleasing aroma, an acceptable aroma. An odor, an environment that God wants to sit in. Come on, you can do better than that. Give him praise. Woo! Let me bend. Okay. If you're not 71, you don't know what I'm talking about. Yeah. Number two, this will not be 30 minutes long. Okay. Number two, calamus is used in medicine. Watch this. For proper digestion, respiratory, cognitive enhancement. Woo! I should have had my calamus this morning. And mental clarity. That's what the anointing can do for you. I don't know that you have to go buy supplements. You just need the anointing of God. For all from, really, isn't that head to toe? That's what calamus will do for you as a medicine. It's interesting that Native Americans used it. It was already spreading around the world. And rumor has it they kind of used it as a stimulant and for medicine. And I'm beginning to wonder, you know, they would smoke the peace pipe And often they would get a vision. That might have been Calamus. Now, people argue about that. They say, no, there's nothing hallucinogenic in there. But it is kind of a stimulant, right? And that makes sense on the brain. So it is kind of a stimulant. So and that's when the Native Americans would hear from God. The anointing is something we receive that helps the connection between heaven and earth. And you don't need a peace pipe. Hallelujah. Come on now. I'm not giving you any reason to smoke. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. So it's used in all those things. Calamus is very important. But the second ingredient I want to talk about is the oil itself. The olive oil. The olive oil. You need to understand that the olive oil represents the Holy Spirit himself. The oil, one man said, is the carrier of the spices. And what he means by that is all the other spices are originally, you know, in like when you shake them out of your shaker, right? They're not liquid. They're crushed. They're crushed, like crushed leaves. But then you mix it with the wet oil. Glory to God. You mix the spices with the Holy Spirit himself. And that's what makes it work. Can I say it like this? That's what makes it flow. It doesn't flow without the Holy Spirit. Can I say it another way? I think sometimes churches get the other four ingredients and they think they got it. They manipulate the anointing of God. They think they have everything in order. But God doesn't move by man's order. He moves by his order. So we can be fancy, we can have all the right steps and all the right moves and say all the right words and have all the right programs and have all the right people in place, but without the oil. Can I speak to the men a minute? You can have an engine. Have an engine. All the right parts, all brand new. Everyone made to work properly. Nothing out of order. Everything runs. You can start the engine. The engine will move for a few seconds without the oil. But it just winds up burning up the engine. We got churches, they say, we're all burned out. Yeah, that's because you don't have the Holy Spirit. Preachers complain, oh, I'm burned out. Well. You take too much on yourself, maybe. Can I preach to myself? Sometimes we take too much on ourselves. We think, I got to do this. No, sometimes you just need to get out of the way. Maybe this morning God could do more if I would just sit down. I'll let my grandson preach. I heard he was out there. He's our new greeter, right? He was charging $45 to park your cars. Yeah. So refunds will be available after church. Yeah, that's Gigi's grandson. Amen. So back to the oil. It's the carrier. Say carrier. Acts chapter 10, and it's poured. Say poured. It's poured on the spices. Reminds me of Acts chapter 10, verse 44. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit what? The Holy Spirit what? Fell upon all those who heard the word. He told them, you know, go here, be together. Just like, let me finish. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured on the Gentiles also. Do we have any Gentiles here today? Y'all don't know what you are. Amen. Acts chapter 2, verse 2. You're not a Jew. All right, Acts 2, 2. Suddenly they heard the sound of a violent blast of what? There's the wind rushing into the house from out of the heavenly realm. The roar of the wind was so overpowering, it was all anyone could bear. Woo! It was stirring up the sense, stirring up the calamus, stirring up that's the Holy Spirit that is poured out on us. Wow. And it makes the anointing work. Makes the anointing flow upon us. It takes the Holy Spirit. Can I get an amen? So it flows. It's the carrier. But number two, it lights the lamps. When we think about lamps in the holy place, in the most holy, not in the most holy place, it didn't need a lamp in there. God was the light. But in the holy place, they would have the candles, the candelabra. And, of course, when we do it, we have what? Candles. There were no candles. It was lit by oil, only by oil. And it was the holy oil that God would use. And so that oil is symbolic of light. Does it not say God is light? God is light. Hallelujah. So we understand that. It reminds us that we need to keep, that's why you had to trim the wicks. You had to make sure. I don't know if any of you have had any experience with the oil, with the lanterns. Did I say that right? The lanterns? Kerosene lanterns? Anybody? I remember as a kid at my grandma's house, she didn't have electricity, and those kerosene lamps, there'd be one in each room. The shadows that it throws off, and it's kind of a whole different feeling than electric light. And it's kind of comforting, and I remember that so much, and I've got some old lamps at home that I don't dare light, amen, but you have to make sure you trim that. Trim off the old burnt part, make sure it's even, otherwise you get this weird flame or too much or too little, and you can adjust it. So the Holy Spirit is the light. He's the light. Exodus 27 and 20, and you shall command the children of Israel that they bring you pure oil of pressed olives for the light to cause the lamp to burn continually. Continually. It had to burn all the time. I remember as a Catholic boy, I would come into the sanctuary, and I was an altar boy for a while. I wasn't a good altar boy, but I was an altar boy. And there was always that lamp that was hanging in the sanctuary, and they would never go out. Never go out. I wonder sometimes we ought to have some kind of way to just symbolically have a light here in the sanctuary so that it never goes out. The presence of God. It was required that it be there 24 hours a day. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? Praise God. Reminds me of the parable of the 10 virgins. And he says, you need to be ready. You need to have what in your lamps? Oil in your lamps. They had lamps. They just didn't have oil. We have churches. But do they have oil? We have preachers, but do they preach with oil? We got members sitting in the chairs, but is there any oil? When the Holy Ghost fell on the day of Pentecost, there were flames of fire on top of their head. How many know that was lit by the oil of the Holy Spirit? Woo, glory to God. It hurts to dance, but I feel like dancing. God is good. Oh, if I fall over, just pick me up, amen. Five had oil, five did not. And when the master came, they went looking for oil, and the rest went on in. But one more or two more things. The oil was used for cooking. It was used to help prepare the manna that they got in the desert every day. There are scriptures, in Numbers 11, verse 7, now the manna was like coriander seed, and its color like the color of bdellium. The people went about and gathered it, ground it on millstones or beat it in the mortar, cooked it in pans, made cakes of it, and its taste was like the taste of pastry prepared with oil. And when the dew fell on the camp in the night, the manna fell on it. Whew, hallelujah. They thought of every recipe they can think of for that manna. I mean, it gets old after 40 years. I mean, that's a lot. You know, they had everything from manna soup to manna burgers. I mean, they had it all. But it was always prepared with oil. I won't read the scriptures, but there are scriptures that talk about when you prepare the lamb, you prepare it with olive oil. When you cook the bread, you put the oil over the top. I'm making y'all hungry now. Amen. Come on. But here's the last point. Here's the thing about the oil. It breaks the yoke. It breaks the yoke. Isaiah 10:27. You know this scripture. Isaiah 10. It shall come to pass in that day that his burden, the one that's attacking you, the one that's trying to manipulate you, the one holding you back, his burden, say his burden. It's not your burden. That weight on you is not your burden. It's his burden. Will be taken away from your shoulder. And his yoke, y'all know what a yoke is, from your neck. And the yoke will be destroyed. And let me give you a reason. Let me give you a how-to. It's going to be destroyed because of the anointing oil. Give him a praise in the house. Now you ask, how is that possible? The word there for anointing, right? The word for anointing, it's in its base meaning, it really means the fat. And what it's saying here is, what would happen with yoke? They with oxen, they would fit the yoke to fit the ox, right? He would plow, and what would happen to his shoulders? He'd build muscle, and they would feed him, and they would fatten him. And one day, while he's pulling the plow, that yoke that now had become too small. He would be pulling that plow, and suddenly that yoke would snap and break apart because of the fat, because of the anointing, because of the oil. Glory to God. I'm telling you, those hard places are just building a place that's going to break the yoke off you. The trials you're going through are nothing but preparation to break the yoke off of you. Hallelujah. Don't worry about that yoke, because sooner or later, what you're going through is going to break what you're going through. Somebody praise him in the house. Stand with me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, God is good. Breaks the yoke off your back. The yoke was meant to control the ox. The enemy will put things on you in order to control you. He wants to control your joy or take it from you. He wants to control your destiny. He wants to be in charge of your life. But if you'll just keep pulling, keep pushing, that yoke will break off and you'll be free. You'll be free. Isn't God good? Oh, God is so good. Give him a praise. Hallelujah.